Hey, welcome everybody. This is Carlos GGS, GuitarGodSecrets.com, and I want to welcome you to what is going to be, hopefully, the start of something pretty fantastic. This podcast is going to guide you down the path of better understanding of how to play guitar, how to be a better musician overall. It doesn't matter if you play rock and roll, it doesn't matter if you play classical, jazz, country, whatever it is you play. I want to give you some great tools for playing the instrument better, because it's our love for this instrument that keeps us going. It keeps us, you know, longing to pick it up and basically build those calluses on the ends of our fingers and, you know, wear our fingers out and feel that delicious exhaustion we feel after we've had a good practice session or a good jam session or a good rehearsal with a band. It's that feeling you get that's just so wonderfully depleting that you just can't explain to anybody, and why it is we do what we do when we play the guitar. It's, you know, at the start, it's both torture and joy to be able to play this instrument. And that's what we're going to talk about on this podcast. I'm going to hopefully interview some great people. I'm going to bring you some great concepts. And if you're wondering, geez, Carlos, how the hell are you going to actually teach us anything on an audio podcast? Well, believe me, you're going to learn quite a bit. And it's actually just as instructional hearing my voice and hearing the notes and hearing what I'm going to tell you as it would be to see it visually. And of course, by all means, go to my YouTube channel and check that out as well. So let's dig into today's topic, which is something, I don't know, I think I'm kind of digging it. I didn't want to get into anything technical or how to play this or how to play that or pick up your guitar and I want you to press your finger down at the fifth fret on the low E string and we're not going there right now. I want to talk equipment. I want to talk hardware, baby. That's right, we're talking the good stuff, where the finger meets the fretboard. You know what I'm talking about? Well, I'm going to talk about a few good products I've come across recently, and I want to just discuss the ins and outs of those and the benefits, because there's so much cool crap out there for guitars. One of the things I think you may have seen, if you've seen any of my podcast or seen any of my videos rather, is my equipment setup. It's fairly intricate, but at the same time, it's also fairly simple, because any segment of it could be chopped off from any other segment and used individually. I am right now using a 3-amp setup. Now, I know that sounds like over the top, ridiculous, like, dude, you're just making this way too complicated. But actually, it's really three separate rigs that I can choose to play either together or separately. The first rig is through my Kemper setup, which is a Kemper profiling amp. Now, Kemper profiling amp basically listens to an amp and then uses that information to reproduce the sound of that amp. And it does so extremely accurately. It has a fantastic sound. The problem with that I found is that the profile is basically done through a speaker, obviously. So your profile always has to include the modeled sound of the actual speaker cabinet that it was put through, which means you really can never just get the sound of the amp separate from the speakers. It's always kind of integrated. Even if you choose a different cabinet setting in the actual system itself, it just doesn't have that sound. It carries off, too much character is carried over, so you lose a little. So you want to use the rig as it was profiled. Okay, for those of you that own this machine, this fantastic machine, I do encourage you to comment on this and let me know what your thoughts are, because it's actually really pretty cool. I mean, there's so much you can do in it. I'm always blown away. This next part of that rig and the parallel part that I started with was an Axe FX 2. Now, that is also a fantastic bit of equipment. This is a hardware device that basically models the amp. Doesn't profile the amp, it models the amp. Basically, what Cliff has done is he's created a computer that basically pretends it's any number of amps that he's created. It's hard to explain this in audio, even really showing you. I can't tell you what it is, but it's better if you do some research. It sounds so much like the amps. It's really, really awesome. The drawback to the Fractal, to the actual Axe FX 2, is that the cabinets that are provided, and even if you use what are known as IRs, which are basically profiles of cabinets, they don't sound all that good to my ear. I don't like the sound of them. So I tend to play my Axe FX through a regular 4x12 cabinet. Now, I may be throwing a lot of mumbo jumbo. I might have had too much coffee this morning, in fact. So if I'm throwing too much at you, don't worry about it, dude. I'm going to talk about a lot of this equipment again and again and in more detail. I just want to give you a quick rundown here. By the way, those two bits of equipment, the Kemper profiling amp and the AxeFX 2, neither one of those actually has an amp in it. There's no amplification per se. What they're designed to do is model the preamp stage that's basically the sound of the amp. That's where the character of the amp comes from. There's no tubes in these things. They're all solid state. As a matter of fact, they're more computer than they are guitar amp. But they just do such an incredible job that I'm finally able to say, hey, you know what, guys? You need to look at other options besides real guitar amps, because there's stuff out there that allow you to do so much more than we could ever do before. Now, besides those two, I'm also running in my third part of the rig, and the third amp in this setup is an actual EVH 5150. By far, it's a real guitar amp, by the way. It's not a model or anything like that. It's a real guitar amp, and it's incredible sound. It's unique. Let's put it that way. I won't say necessarily it's incredible. It's unique. It's incredible to my ear because it has the sound that I just love, having especially grown up listening to Van Halen and being around when they first came around and listening to Eddie's sound and what he's done for guitar playing in general and equipment, which is more of what we're talking about in this podcast. Just all of that is kind of rolled up into my experience of the 5150, but it is a fantastic amp. It's incredibly loud. The actual character, the voicing of the two distorted channels is incredibly satisfying and distinctly different. The clean channel itself is actually pretty nice, and I like using that myself. So there you go. Now, previous to all this work I've done in the last few years of getting my sound dialed in, I used to use a Line 6 Pod HD 500. I started out with an XT Live for a while, and then I switched over to the more recent version of the HD 500, which is a great piece of equipment in itself, by the way. The effects in there are really top-notch. I have to say that the script phaser that's in there is very, very close to the Eddie Van Halen sound that I always wanted to get. His phaser sound was always something I wanted to get to, and that script phaser in there is awesome. Very, very close. It's got a lot of great effects in it. What it doesn't have to my ears is a very good modeling of the amps that it says it does. And not as good as an AxeFX or a Kemper or a real amp, for that matter. Real tube amps. So I've never been satisfied with it. I always had to go out and get something a little more close to home. Now, I also have, sitting over here, and I'm looking at them, and I'm eyeing you. Yes, I am. You two amps over there on the corner. These two amps are my Marshall JVM 410H, which is their top-of-the-line flagship Marshall, and it's also an incredible amp. Unbelievable high gain on that thing. A little noisy, but it's still a great amp on its own. I've also got a Black Star I forgot what it's a Stage 100, something Stage 100. I can't remember what it is, but it's their basically 100-watt stage amp. And that one sounds great, too. And from my understanding, a lot of the guys in Black Star came over, or at least from the engineering, came over from Marshall. So there's a lot of Marshall character in a Black Star. However, that being said, I really don't have any use for it, so I'm trying to sell the damn thing. You know, there's only so many amps a guy needs to have stacked up in his house, and especially because it's my office where I do my recording, I do my my business work, my other businesses, as well as the work for Guitar God Secrets. You know, it just takes up a lot of room. So I'm looking to sell that thing, but it's a little difficult. I think there's a glut in the market of Black Star amps at this point, and they just don't sell secondary market. Not that it's a bad amp, mind you. It's a great amp, but I just don't have a need for it. And to give you the last bit of rundown here in terms of what I am playing through, I also have an EVH 212 cabinet to run my EVH through. However, right now, I've decided to switch it up a little bit. I'm actually running my AxeFX through a Matrix power amp into that EVH cabinet. I just thought it sounded cool. It sounds good. That 2x12 has a lot of bass to it, by the way. And my large cabinet, which you will also see on the videos on Guitar God Secrets, the actual YouTube channel, you'll see my Line 6 sitting there in the background. And the reason I got that, a lot of guys would say, dude, why don't you have a Marshall 412, man? Those things rock. You know, I would love to have one, but it really what made the most sense for me was the frequency response of the Line 6. The Line 6 was designed to be more versatile in terms of frequency response. It was designed to give you a little bit more high-end, a little less low-end. And that was because people, I guess Line 6 assumed you would most likely be putting like a spider valve or one of their modeling amp heads on top of this thing. And it would work a lot better for that. And I totally agree that that's what it's for. And that was the reason I got it, was it had a little bit more high-end frequency response, a little bit more mid, a little less low-end. But all in all, it's a great sounding cabinet if you're trying to do more modeling or I guess you want to say amp agnostic sound through it. In other words, you want to get more versatility at the risk of losing character. So it's a little bit more flat response, and at the same time, it gives you the ability to play a variety of amps through it and get a fairly flat character, I guess I'd say. I don't know. You may have to push it hard to get some bass out of it, but it's actually a pretty damn good 4x12 cabinet. It was also cheap, I have to say. It was very inexpensive. I think when I bought that thing, it was like $300. And for 412s, that's pretty good. And, last little bit here is what speakers am I using for the other part of my rig, which I've shown in other videos, but I don't show when I do my instructional videos. It's over in the corner of the office, and it's actually typically what I'm recording when I'm doing the videos. That's a JBL 2x15 with a horn FRFR speaker. FRFR stands for full range flat response or something like that. It means basically that it's going to, anything you put into it comes out of it. When you put your signal of a guitar amp into a guitar cabinet, one that's especially made for a guitar amp, it automatically chops off frequencies past about 8 or 9,000 kilohertz. I think so. Yeah, something like that. 8 or 9 kilohertz, and the low end, the 60 hertz level area, or the below 100, really for most cabinets, is also chopped off. So you're basically losing extremely low and extremely high frequencies. Not so with an FRFR speaker, which can actually have incredibly high frequency response up to the 20,000, 22,000 range, and low into the, I don't know, I think like 40 to 60 range, which is extremely low. That's subwoofer range. Now, obviously, you don't want all those frequencies in your guitar sound. After all, guitar is, by its nature, a mid-range instrument, and certain guitarists have also taken that in different directions. But the point here being that that cabinet, the actual FRFR speakers, are necessary for a modeling setup where you may want a little extra high-range or low-range sound. But it doesn't stop you from, again, putting this stuff through different kinds of cabinets, and depending on the modeler or the profiler that you're using, you can do any combination of these. That's the cool part. And I will talk about that later. So there you go. I've wasted about 15 minutes of your time talking about guitar crap. What am I going to talk about that's going to be interesting to you? Well, let's talk about, like I said, equipment. Some new bits of equipment that I've got recently that I wanted to talk about were, number one, I got an Eddie Van Halen. That's the EVH, by the way, that I've been talking about as far as amps and whatnot. The Eddie Van Halen D-Tuna, which is this little clever bit of hardware that you pop on your low E string, basically on a Floyd Rose. You replace the lockdown bolt off of a Floyd Rose with his little setup, his little contraption. And what it allows you to do is, with a little flick of this little chrome bit of metal, it basically drops your low E down to a low D. And that, of course, allows you to play open D tuning, where the low E string is tuned down from E a whole step down to the D. And, of course, that just gives you a whole new sound. And if you are familiar with Eddie Van Halen's playing, he went through that phase of drop D tuning, which was actually more like drop C sharp, because he tunes his, tended to tune his guitar down a whole half step for most of the early recordings anyways. It might have been Women and Children First was probably one of the first places he started really dropping it down. But that ability to be able to go into drop D quickly was something he wanted, and he created this cool little I guess you call it contraption. It's not really that complicated. Basically, I'm just going to explain it for you guys that are familiar with Floyd Rose tremolos, that when you're fine-tuning a Floyd Rose, when you're tuning those little knobs down there on the bridge, what you're basically doing is pushing down on the same bolt that locks the string to the actual bridge. When you push down on that bolt, you are what? You're actually putting more tension on the string because you're pulling back on that particular piece, and it sharpens the string, sharpens the note of the string. Okay, it's a very simple explanation, I guess, and maybe oversimplified, or maybe it was too complicated, I don't know. But when you do that, it basically changes the pitch of the string. Well, what Eddie Van Halen's little contraption, the detuner, does is by like popping this thing in, you basically immediately jump the tuning between two different points, which allows you to go from D to E. So it's basically engineered to flatten your string down a whole step with the flick of this little doob bopper thingy majigger. That's my technical explanation. Anyway, the cool thing is, though, it doesn't even have to be a real Floyd Rose. If, as long as it's one that's engineered closely enough to a Floyd Rose, it should work as well. To give you an example, I've got a Goto on the Sur that I play. I have a Sur guitar that is just fantastic. Cost enough. Damn, well, better be, man. That one should also work with it. I'm planning on installing one there. And I've also got it's a Variax, James Tyler Variax, that I got. Line 6, by the way, they make great guitars. That thing has got a fantastic neck on it. It's very playable. It's an awesome guitar. That one also has a very similar tremolo system. It has piezo pieces in the bridge, and I'll explain those at some point. Wow, I just realized there's an incredible amount of stuff in this whole field of playing guitar. There's just so much stuff. I mean, yeah, you could pick up an acoustic guitar and just play, and you've got a guitar, and there are strings on that guitar, and then you start getting in, and you start digging into all the details about guitars and the stuff we do to customize them. There's a lot of crap, man. I'm really thinking that, holy crap. Just recently, I bought this toolbox that allows me to store all the crap that I buy, because I buy a lot of guitar crap, and I also have a lot of good spare guitar parts. It's kind of like that joke about there's always that spare bolt left over after you fixed your car. Well, same thing is true, of course, with guitars. There's always spare screws left over, spare springs, spare this, spare that, wires, whatever, and I've got a ton of them over the years. I've been playing now for, well, let's just say a long time. Over the 20-year mark, let's say way over the 20-year mark, so I've acquired quite a bit of crap. I literally still had, up until last Tuesday, I had the same little fishing tackle box that I had when I first started playing and stored all this crap in. When I first started playing guitar, I was taking them apart just to find out how they worked, and I was tweaking them back then and, of course, screwing a bunch of them up at the same time. But, you know, I was about 12 years old. And at the time, I was also, like, I had to store this crap. Where would I put it? So I got a little, it's a Plano fishing tackle box. It's a very small one. And I've had that thing for well over, well, what did I say before? I don't want to give away just how old this old man is, but I've had it for quite a while, over 25 years. So what does that tell you? Well, it tells you that I just don't get rid of stuff very easily, first of all. And second of all, I finally got to the breaking point where I'm like, dude, I got to get a new thing to put all my crap in. Because I was now starting to buy different boxes and different little assorted doohickey boxes to store the screws. And, well, anyway, long story short, my neighbor's throwing away this big Plano tackle box thing that has all these drawers and separate sections you can put little dividers in. I was like in heaven. I was in total dude heaven, man. It was a great box. So I grabbed this thing and I said, dude, I'm totally taking this, because he was giving it away. And I took it home, cleaned it out, and it is perfect. I can store everything from my soldering iron to the electrical tape to the bridge to the different, like, I've got a floating one of those Fender ball bearing nuts that they have. I got all these great pieces of equipment that I've just got to store someplace, and now I've got it. Well, that's a load off my chest. I'm glad I got to talk to you about that. All right, so let's get back on topic here. I don't want to bore you with more of the details, but you know what? When you start talking this stuff, or if you start talking with a guy who also understands it, it's like you could talk about this stuff for hours, even days. When it comes to talking guitar stuff, you just talk forever. Right down to frequency response of pickups and stuff like that. We dudes, when we're getting on guitar, and I'm not excluding you ladies if there are ladies listening, but let's face it, guitar by nature is just one of those things a guy picks up more often than not. There's so much to talk about. It's so fun to talk about. So if I get rambling, hey, just say, dude, just scream this at your computer or your iPod or your iPhone or your phone or whatever it is you're listening to me on and say, dude, get back on track. I'll get the vibe. So this Detuna is an awesome little piece of equipment to add on. It works really well. I've installed it on one guitar. I've got to install it on another later. It does require you to block the bridge, meaning your tremolo has to be locked out so that it can't float. It can dive bomb, but it cannot pull back, which means you won't be able to do the fluttery thing, the old Steve Vai flutter, but you're going to gain some stability there. I mean, I know a lot of guitarists that don't even like the whole floating thing. It takes a long time to get a Floyd Rose really balanced and really just dialed in. So I can understand that somebody might not want to give that up. I definitely didn't, but at the same time, having this ability to go drop D is pretty cool, especially if you do have a lot of songs you play that are drop D tuning. And there you go. So I highly recommend it. It's about $40. I think you can get it online now. There's so many different places to get stuff online. And I'm going to talk about that too. I'm going to talk about where to buy stuff because I've bought stuff from Amazon, from eBay, from Sweetwater, from all the different places, from independent guys. So I'll talk more about that, where to get your effects, where you can get some really cool effects, and where you can just basically avoid. And I'll talk more about that in the immediate future. But for now, I wanted to tell you about one more cool little bit of equipment, and it's the smallest bit, but it's actually the most important bit. It's called your pick. For a while now on my YouTube channel, I have been promoting and talking about, I'm going to pick one up here off of my desk because I have all my picks sitting on my desk. I've got this DAVA, D-A-V-A, it could be DAVA for all I know, these jazz picks that they put out. They've got this rubber grip on them, and they're fantastic picks. They really are. They're the best thing I've found in recent years because I've been on this hunt for the ultimate pick. Well, I've been playing with them for about 6 months, and I love them. And, you know, I thought, hey, this is it. I found it. I stopped looking for new picks to try out because I try out every pick I can find. Everything from gravity picks to acrylics and all these just different ridiculous boutique picks that you can find out there. I've tried them, all right? Now, what I got around to was talking about this pick with the guy that recommended it. It's Scotty over at G-Systems Videos. He and I became friends after we started talking equipment. That's another thing I have is a TC Electronics G system that provides my pedal board, and I'll talk about that in a future podcast. But Scott and I were talking about these picks because he recommended them to me. I'm like, dude, I think you have saved my life. This is an awesome pick. And then he mentioned another pick that he had used before, and I thought, hey, you know what? If he tried that, I should try that. And hang on a second here. I'm picking it up off my desk. Again, I've got these sitting on my standing desk. You should always have a pick on hand, by the way. No pun intended. You should always have a pick near you and on you. You should have a pick in your wallet. I know guys that would put it on their necklaces, which is a little kind of 80s goofy, but you can do that. I'm not going to judge. I'm no longer a judger. I got some Tortex Dunlop Jazz 3 picks, and these are 1.14 millimeters. On one side, it says Jazz 3. On the other side, it has the little turtle, the Tortex turtle. These are black ones. I also have the purple ones, which I believe are pretty much identical in 99.99% of the ways they can be identical. These picks have actually replaced DAVA as my go-to pick. And the reason is very simple. For the thickness, 1.14 millimeters, which is about as low as I'll go, they're very rigid and very they're firm. I play a lot of metal, and I play a lot of fast playing, and I want a responsiveness to my pick. I don't want it to flop or anything like that. You know, I don't want it bending on me. These picks, especially in a Jazz 3 format, which is smaller than regular picks, do that. They're just nice and rigid, give me a lot of response. I can play very close. My fingers can get very close to the tip of the pick. And that's, by the way, something you need to have when you're playing. If you're playing fast and you're playing accurate playing or very precise technical playing, your fingers should be very close to the end of the pick, if possible. We'll talk about that later. I know, I'm saying we'll talk about that later quite a bit. That gives you a hint that you've got a lot of reason to keep tuning into this podcast, man. This pick is really great. I think this may be my final, well, not final, semi-final pick to have and pick to use, and the one I'll recommend for guys that are in the same situation that I am. These Jazz 3 Dunlop Tortex 1.14 millimeter black picks. Okay, if I haven't given you enough information there, that should be enough for you to go look them up on Amazon. That's where I bought them. They're awesome. They're really great. The only thing I had to do was, I think, a few of these, the tip was just a little too sharp. So I just did like a very brief swipe back and forth on some sandpaper to kind of bring it down just a little itty-bitty-bitty bit. But you know what? Honestly, I don't think it was that big a deal. It might have been my imagination, because I also picked up one of the purple ones and played with it, and I hadn't modified it, and it played the same. But it's a great pick. It's an awesome pick. I encourage you to try it if you're into the same kind of playing I am. Even if you're not, maybe you are a jazz player and this is still your cup of tea, try them. They're awesome picks. They have the right amount of rigidity, and they also just feel right for some reason. They're not as grippy. Like, I would more likely drop this pick than I would the Dava, but it's as close as I can get to the Dava and the best grip I've found in a regular pick, quite honestly, without doing some really hinky stuff. And I've done some really hinky stuff to make picks more grippy. And I don't like sticky stuff. Like Gorilla Snot is something that a lot of guys use. I've tried that. It's a little too weird. Just feels strange under my fingers sometimes. Anyway, there you go. I talked about picks for about 10 minutes. Isn't that incredible? Hey, this is what you dialed in for. This is what you tuned in for. It's the cool stuff I'm going to be talking about here. So we're going to talk about more great stuff coming up soon. I'm going to talk you through my effects. I'm going to talk you through my signal chain. I'm going to talk through how I get the sound I get, because even though it sounds incredibly high gain in the videos, I'll actually give you some samples here of what I've got and how I got it, and talk about how you get the sound you want, whether it's heavy metal, whether it's country, whatever it is, man. You can get the sound you want these days, and you can get it like never before and easier than ever before. But there is a drawback to that, and that is that a lot of guys don't learn how to train their ear to hear the things they need to hear in their sound to get the sound they want. Meaning they just don't know what it is that they're looking for, how to go there. And that's what I want to talk about, is give you, share some expertise on getting the sound you want, and what to listen for, and how to train your ear, and basically when to walk away from it when that ear starts getting too tired. So this is Carlos GGS from Guitar God Secrets. We're going to be talking about some cool stuff, dude. We're going to be talking about some really awesome stuff. Everything from guitars, equipment, you know, all the hardware, but we're also going to talk about playing. We're going to talk about how to be a better player, how to train your ear, how to just everything. Everything cool about guitar is going to happen right here. And as you can tell, this may be the first one, and I may be excited, but there is a reason I'm excited. It's because I love the guitar. I love playing the guitar, and I know you do too, which is why you're tuning in, and I want to give you the cool stuff you want. So please, by all means, leave me a message. Go to the website if you need to, and leave me a message if there's something you'd like to see, something you'd like to hear or talk about, either in the videos from the YouTube channel or here on the podcast. Let me know. I need to know. I'm just getting this thing off the ground, baby, and I want to launch it to the stars. So I'll be talking again soon. This is Carlos GGS from Guitar God Secrets. If you haven't already, go to the site. Go to guitargodsecrets.com. That's guitargodsecrets.com. Go over there and get my free video, my free number one practice hack that will get you better faster. You will basically get better in half the time. And watch soon, because I'm going to be coming up with some cool little products for you, some great things that you may or may not find interesting. I'm not going to be a sales guy here. I just want to give you guys what it is that will help you to be better players, okay? And, you know, keep me putting some bread on the table for my family. I'll be talking again soon. This is Guitar God Secrets, Carlos GGS. I've had a great time. I can't wait to come back and do episode number two now. I'll be talking again soon.
GuitarGodSecrets.com, Guitar God Secrets podcast, and YouTube content, and all content herein is copyright Morpheus Productions, LLC. Feel free to contact Carlos at carlos@guitargodsecrets.com. We welcome your comments, suggestions, and questions. And your donations. Live to play, play to live.